Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Reignite My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our hearts apart. On Reignite My Heart, we'll discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad you're able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, just want to listen to the show, feel free to get in contact with me. Right now, I'm available on social media, on my Facebook page, Brother Prater, as well as on my mobile app or website. My mobile app, Brother Prater. You can go to Android or Apple, and also my website at Brother Prater. Excuse me, at ReconnectMyHeartPodcast.com. Unfortunately, on my podcast, I'm having some difficulties, but I wanted to go ahead and start with the show. The devil is alive. Also, I want to say this for those who've been praying for me. Thank you so much. I've been under the weather, feeling better, just have a little congestion, but I've been drinking hot tea, monkey juice, you name it. I done drunk it. But I thank you all for y'all continued prayers and support. So on today, I have a question. Do you find yourself stressing or always handling other folks' problems? Or other folks' business, I'll say. Well, just because folks want you to participate doesn't mean that they need your participation. Understand that you have to learn to pick and choose your battles wisely and let God show you how to handle situations. So on today's show, we're going to talk about using wisdom to discern which situations to handle, which ones to leave alone while keeping your peace. We want to talk about that and much more in the episode called Deal or No Deal. Deal or No Deal. Choosing the battles to fight or to sit out. Many of us, if you notice, many of us, we stress more over situations that does not concern us. And one of the things I always tell when I'm at work, I tell the inmates, if they need something, I want for that person who's in need to come and approach me. I do not like for someone to go and speak for someone else. Why? Because oftentimes we end up getting ourselves involved in situations that does not concern us. And also, and this is just me, one of the things I always tell, because I work with the guys, and this is not just pertaining to work, but I tell people even outside of work, for a man, make sure you practice on learning to speak for yourself. Oftentimes what happens when you end up depend upon somebody else to speak up for you, you end up crippling or you handicapping yourself, not using the vocals for you to be able to speak for yourself or for your behalf. You end up messing up, or you end up not effectively learning how to exercise that vocal muscle or even that confidence muscle for you to be able to speak up for yourself. And what happened, especially as guys, when we don't speak up for ourselves, when it's time for us to have a family or a significant other, unfortunately what happened, we end up not knowing how to properly fend for them vocally. And what happened, if they end up having to speak up for us, we won't get that respect that we're looking for. And so it's very important for us to learn to speak up for ourselves. And so with that, excuse me one second. It's very important for us to be able to speak up for ourselves. And so with that, when we look at the show Deal or No Deal, the show with Howie Mandel as the host, what he'll look at, he'll tell us to pick and choose a briefcase. So we pick a briefcase that we want to keep, and oftentimes the prize is $1 million. And so we pick that briefcase, and then by process of elimination, we end up picking other briefcases, so that way, whatever we pick, whatever certain amount of money that may be inside, based upon how high or how low that money is, we end up getting an offer from the banker. The banker will always try to settle for less than what we actually come up to the show for. The grand prize is oftentimes $1 million. And so he does not want you to get that $1 million briefcase. And so also what he'll do, even without you knowing how much is in your briefcase, he's going to always try to bargain less than the offer or the briefcase that you're coming to get. And so what we have to look at, when we look at Deal or No Deal, there are some decisions and some things we do not have to participate. But then there are others that we do. And so what we have to do, we have to look at, first, let's look at how do we make our decision making pertaining to what to participate in and what not to participate in. Like I said, the first thing we have to look at, does this involve us? Does this situation involve us? In other words, do you have any skin in the game? And do you have any skin in the game? Also, how much skin do you have in that game? Now, let's just say if there's $1 million, well, I'll say $10 million company, but you have 50 cents invested into it. Well, yes, you have some say-so, but who has a louder say-so than you? You have to look at the person who has more investment. And so what you have to do, you have to look at whatever that you may be trying to speak up for. Do you have any investment inside of it? Now, investment does not always pertain to, quote-unquote, corporation, business, company. It could be pertaining to even a disagreement or a conversation you may have to have with someone. What I found out, there are so many people, which we're going to end up getting into, but there are so many people, they allow everything to be a, quote-unquote, a major deal. Some people would take a mountain out of a molehill. Some people, it's like, come on now. Now, they may be overreacting. And oftentimes what you have to look at, why are they overreacting? Oftentimes they may be overreacting because they may have some type of situation that occurred in the past that was unsettled, and now this new situation resembles the old situation, and because they failed in this situation or did not fight or stand up in this situation, now they're trying to do it in that situation. But it's two different situations. And so that's why it's so important for us to analyze how much investment do we have in this situation, but also the next step, making sure that we closely examine each situation separately from the past situation. Because it's very unfair to the new situation that we end up trying to correct the old situation in the new situation. It's just like when people have a relationship from the past that may be unsettled. What happened? They go into a new situation, and because that person resembles the old, then they end up treating the new person like the old person. So that's why it's so important for us to separate. But also, it's so important for us to make sure that we look at it through the lens of God. It's so important for us to not only look in through the lens of God, but also to discern. Because oftentimes what we don't realize, sometimes our minds can play tricks on us. Our minds, but also our emotions can play tricks on us. And so it's so important for us to spiritually discern each situation. Because what I found out not only that we may end up messing up the new situation because it resembles the old situation, but don't you know the devil know how to strategically make you miss your blessing or the purpose God has for you, because he end up having you to overreact in a situation that caused no action at all. That's why it's so important for us to pray, seek God, and listen to his voice and respond in obedience. And so with that, being able to properly discern, let's go over here for a second. Okay, here it is. For us to be able to really discern and check to make sure, is this something that requires my cooperation? Is this something that requires my cooperation? Is this something that requires me to handle? Or is it somebody else's responsibility to handle this situation? It is so important. So with that, making sure that we listen, that we discern, that we listen to what God is telling us, because, like I said, what happens, the devil would try to have you to look at the old, not only to make you miss, but also to even question your identity, question your purpose, question everything to make you miss or make you sabotage your own blessing. See, I think a lot of time we don't have these conversations with ourselves. And sometimes there may be people that we may not talk to or be transparent with pertaining to our situation. But even if you don't talk to someone physically, we always have to be able to talk to ourselves. Don't you know, oftentimes the process of healing, oftentimes if we take the time to really analyze, to really dig in and have those healthy conversations with ourselves, don't you know the healing process could be much faster? But oftentimes we delay our healing because we don't want to confront that person that we are allowing ourselves to be, or the person that we have allowed ourselves to become pertaining to past hurt or past situations. We have to have this conversation with ourselves. Notice, it'll be good for us to have that conversation with other people. And some people, they may not find someone immediately for them to talk to. But in the process of you trying to find someone, you can always talk to yourself. Listen, you cannot avoid that person that's in your mirror. You cannot avoid that person that's sleeping in your bed. You cannot avoid that person that you see when you wash your face. No matter what you dealt with, no matter who you are, you can't run from yourself. And no medicine, no alcohol, no drug, no person can make us or medicate us or sex us from us talking and having a healthy conversation with ourselves. Listen, even after the drugs, even after the alcohol, even after the wild party and wild sex, when it's all said and done, the situation still remains for you to deal with. But it's up to us on how we're going to deal with it and if we're going to confront it. And the only way for us to grow and overcome whatever situation, we got to deal with it head on. One of the things we always have to remember is we are not identified by our circumstances or our problems. And so we have to be able to really confront this situation. But like I said, in that, it can help us to be able to properly deal with the situation that need to be dealt with. And this is for those situations that we need to handle. There are some things, I don't care what you do. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this. Even if you have the best intentions, no matter what you, look here, you can't cry it out. You can't shout it out. You can't pray it out. When we pray, what do we do? Prayer is simply going to God and letting God know that this is beyond our scope, this is beyond our reach, and we ask Him for the specific instructions and how to handle that. That is prayer. Some people think prayer is, okay, well, that problem, God will just remove it. What I found out, oftentimes, God will remove it, but the method of how He removes it, that's something we have to ask God for the wisdom of, because God may remove that situation through your effort. See, God's not going to just poof on certain situations. There are some situations He may say, look, I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the knowledge on how to handle this situation so that way you can overcome it. That way you can realize that it wasn't you, but it was Him working through you. Think about it. And so, so what God wants us to do is look at every situation and pray about everything to see, so that way we can assess if it's something that God wants us to deal with or not deal with. Now, if it's something that He wants us to deal with, then what we have to do is ask Him for the skill, the wisdom, the insight, and the instructions on how to handle that situation. But also, what we have to do, we have to realize in every situation, comes on God. And like I said, in this situation, there are some situations that we have to deal with. There are some things where, especially looking at let's just say, we caused a mess. One of the things that God going to help us to deal with is dealing with accountability and responsibility. Now, if there is a mess that you made, hey, acknowledge you made a mistake. Don't, well, you know, no. Look, if you wrong somebody, go up there to them. You know what? I was wrong. You know, I apologize. You know, I stole some money from you, and, you know, I tried to get you fired. You know, I'm messed up. I was not thinking. But you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Not only I apologize for what I did, I apologize for my behavior. I'm going to go to the supervisor. I'm going to let him know. And I want you to come with me. I want him to know that it wasn't you that did it. It was I. I was the one that messed up. I scandalized your name. I did you wrong. That's an apology. That's repentance. But some people, well, if I did anything to offend you, no, you know what you did. You did wrong. And that's what confession, that God wants us to confess our wrongdoings. Yeah, not just to him, which is important, but also to our fellow man, the person we wronged. And even if we go to God, God first wants to go to our fellow brothers and sisters. And look here, I don't care how many scriptures you read. I don't care how you cry and talk to God. But if you wrong somebody, you don't go to them. Look, how is God going to accept your forgiveness when you don't go to your person, that person that you wronged, and go to them and let them know, hey, you know what? I did you wrong. Nah, you still got blood on your hands. See, we have to be accountable and responsible for our wrongdoing. We always say, hey, be an adult about it. Be an adult. And once you do that, you're accountable for your actions. And that shows and reveals growth and maturity. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to grow. God wants us to be more mature. The Bible says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Now, what does that word mean, perfect? Perfect does not mean flawless. It means maturity. In other words, it's a continuous growth. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in this journey or in this Christian life. We're supposed to be growing, not decreasing, not shrinking. We're supposed to be growing. And that's what, and also what happened, that helps us even in our relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters. Yes, in our relationship with God, yes, but also our brothers and sisters, because it could affect our witness. And so, like I said, these are some of the things we have to look at in order for us to grow in God and also grow in the relationship with each other. So, yes, if you've wronged, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, the scripture I always think about, the scripture that says, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he shall direct the path or make the pathway straight. We know, God, what I made crooked, God, you make it straight. Meaning, even in the midst of a situation, acknowledge him. Oftentimes, we think about, well, you know what? I got to go on through this mistake. But the Bible says, once you acknowledge him in that situation that you're in, invite him in. Yeah, even if you jacked up everything, invite him in and allow him. First of all, allow him to help you in this situation, but also allow yourself to receive his forgiveness and also for you to forgive yourself. So with that, for us to be able to be mature, for us to be able to acknowledge, yeah, we made some mistakes. I made some mistakes. That's accountability. That's maturity. And so with that, being able to understand, yeah, whatever you messed up, clean up. The song, The Cancer Spirituals. I'm going to clean up what I messed up. I'm starting my life over again. Yeah. We can't rely upon other people to clean up the mess that we created. So, yes, pick up your mess pick up your mess. But also, even in the mess that you've made, don't look at somebody else and don't have to blame game on other people. Think about you. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, it doesn't matter about them. We have to be able to keep our eyes off of other folks and keep our eyes on God and us. This is, look, I always tell people salvation is an individual thing. So, yes, for us to be able to realize, yeah, you know what, I made a mistake, and you know what, we're going to grow from this, we're going to learn from this. That's mature in this situation. But also, and also not only looking at the things we need to deal with, the things that we're supposed to be responsible for, the things we're supposed to be accountable for, now here come the part in the things we don't need to deal with. I mentioned earlier, I kind of gave a forecast a little bit about the things we don't need to deal with in the very beginning. But I mentioned about other folks' business. No. What I found out, oftentimes, like I said earlier, we get ourselves in more trouble when we involve ourselves in other people's business, when we stick our nose in other people's business. I found out people become more passionate in stuff that don't involve them. And it's funny. Matter of fact, you see it on TV. Get this. Let's just say, matter of fact, we'll use a TV show, Paternity Court. A woman is on there claiming that this guy is the baby father. And then the guy's on there with his current girlfriend. And get this. The women are going back and forth. The women are going back and forth. Blah, 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 you, blah, blah, blah. And that guy's sitting there. Or stand up, ain't saying a word. But them women are so passionate. Women are so passionate. Get this. Why are they so passionate? Why are they so heated? Because now they have allowed their feelings to get involved. Why? Because they are not addressing the real issue. It's that dude that's trying to play both of them. But see, that woman that's right here, if she listens that her man is messing with that baby mama, and if she just sit down, hey, look here, this your thing. I've seen some shows where they're about to go to blows and come to find out that guy was playing both of them. But then I've seen other times where that current girl, oh, she sit down, look, I'm just here. Yeah, I'm listening. Hey, I'm just here. I'm listening. And then what happened, things come out. Oh, he's trying to play both of us. Yeah. So when you involve yourself in other folks' business, you allowing that person to get away with a crime. Yeah, I say get away with murder. You allow people, because, look, it doesn't involve you. Why you care? I found out what makes it hard is when people try to co-sign for somebody, and then they trying to co-sign for somebody that don't even care about them. They trying to co-sign for a grown person. Oh, that is a pet peeve of mine. I hate, and I've seen so many times where it could be a man or a woman, end up trying to re-raise grown folks. This is a situation that does not require your assistance. What I found out, every time you try to involve yourself, if you want to say, if you try to deal with something that does not need your dealing with, what happened, you allowing this person to play you for a fool. I'm going to say it like that. You know, oftentimes I've seen many times where the mothers, a parent, or grandparents, they have to go in and have to, well, you know, I'm gonna have to help this person. And don't you know that person really doesn't care about you? Let's be honest. That person really doesn't care about you. I always tell people, if you start listening to a person's, if you start listening to their actions, how do you listen to their actions? Because when you watch their actions and you recite what their actions are, then you can actually hear how they really are. Yeah. See, so many people, they're listening to what a person's saying, but they're ignoring what a person is doing. They're listening to what a person is saying, but they're ignoring what a person is doing. They're ignoring it. That's why it's so important for you. That's why it's so important for you to listen, pay attention. Pay attention to what a person is, what? Doing, not saying. You allow yourself to be less disappointed when you watching a person and you reciting what they're doing so you can hear in your ears. But as long as you're listening to them in your ears, you're going to allow yourself to be continuously disappointed. And also you build yourself these false hope and you're always getting used. Well, you know, he said or she said, no. I'm telling you, people like to play game on people that they can get something out of. I'm telling you. I work in the jail. So, for us to be able to watch these inmates, like I said, I see inmates run game on so many people. I've seen them run game on their parents. And it breaks my heart for the mother to get off work. She's been working all day long. And she has to ride the bus to come out there. And yeah, my baby said he need that. And I'm looking to this gangbanger. I'm listening to him. He like, yo, what's up, man? What's up? Like, hey, man. You got your mama to come up here and tell you. Oh, man, y'all just... Man, look, I'm telling you, a lot of people, they getting game ran on them. But I'm going to tell you this, for those who always try to be a person's safety net, how long or how many times you going to allow yourself to involve yourself in a situation where you always coming to the rescue for somebody who does not need your assistance? You can't handicap grown folks. You can't speak up for grown folks. I've seen too many times where, I want you to think about this. I've seen too many times where the person ended up having their mother or their grandmother, and there's been times where the father been up there, but oftentimes it's been the mother's. Because a lot of times the guys know that they can play on mama's heartstrings. And then the girls that may be incarcerated know they can play on daddy's heartstrings. But this person gangbanging, this person doing all this foolery, and then when they get in trouble, they want to call mama. But my question is, why you didn't call mama before you end up doing that gangbanging? Why you didn't have mama with you? Because you know it was wrong. So you know what you're doing is wrong, so you feel like you can call mama to make it right. Mama come to your rescue, or grandmama will come to your rescue. I want you to think about it. Just get those who may be watching or listening, if they don't want to listen to it because I'm exposing their behavior, I want to talk to those who are always coming to the rescue for those who continue to deal with foolery. How long you going to stop your life or put your life on hold to go to the rescue of somebody that likes the life that they're living. Don't you know many people are losing sleepless nights right now because they worried about their loved one, they worried about their child, they worried about their baby dad or their baby mama, they worried about people who ain't even worried about you. I know it's a lot of people that up there in the jail, they got some good sleep. You the ones that are at home in your own bed, restless. Think about it. Well, I'm telling you what I know. Because when you come up there to the jail, yeah, you may not see everything that's going on. You don't see the bunks. You don't see them while they're playing dominoes or while they're trying to screw over other people. I'm telling you. Look here. I'm just reporting the news. You can take it for what it's worth. But you the one that's losing sleep. You the one using good night's sleep. So my question is, what you gonna do? Huh? That doesn't require your assistance. See, there are sometimes we just have to pray and say, God, you know what? I admit, I'm weak behind this person, and I'm used to going and ripping and running, leaving work, leaving school, losing money, taking my hard-earned money and putting on their books or helping them out of their problem, out of their trouble. And I don't have anything to show for it. It seemed like the more I help them, the worse they get. Well, you know why? Because the more you help them, the worse they get. Sometimes people have to realize that fat meat is greasy. They have to realize it. But when are you going to be the one to set boundaries? You can't wait for them to set boundaries. When it pertains to you and your life, you have to be the one to set boundaries. You have to be the one to say, you know what, enough is enough. And it can't be based on your feelings. It can't be based on, well, you know, they said, this is one of the ones I always hear. Well, you know, we've been together for so long, we got history. You got history. Okay. Well, and some people, I don't want to start over pertaining to a relationship. I don't want to start over, but you know what? It's best to start over with someone that ain't going to hurt you versus the one that, look, all these red flags that God is exposing, you think God is exposing the red flags for nothing? Man, please. And I'm going to say this might hurt some people's feelings, but the truth should set you free. Listen, when people show you their identity, who they really are, their true character, you have to understand that God is allowing you to see this for a reason. What if God is showing you that this ain't the right one so you can be free to get the right one? Or be helped, be rescued, be set free for you to be able to not just get the right one, but be in the purpose and plan that he has for you. God withholds a lot of our blessings he put those things on hold until we get the atmosphere conducive enough for the right people to be in our lives so we can be able to receive the right blessing, because there are some people that we choose that will sabotage our blessings. There are people that we choose that will hinder or stop our growth. Think about it. Before you put down fresh grass, you want to pull up old weeds. You want to make sure that the grounds are fertile. You want to make sure that the atmosphere is conducive enough for growth. But if you already see a potential hindrance to a healthy field, you want to make sure that you pluck it up from the roots. So you want to make sure that you get everything that's not pertaining to growth out of the field. Well, if you would take that much care in the field or in your garden, what about you? Aren't you more valuable than your field, than your garden? In other words, you can't wait for somebody to put value on you. You have to be the one to place the own price tag on your body or on yourself. You have to be the one. And you can't let people treat you less than the price tag that you put on you. You have to be the one to hold up that standard, to keep their boundaries in place. And you cannot be biased pertaining to the people that may try to infringe and lowering your standards or trying to overstep the boundaries. You can't do that. You have to be non-biased. I don't care if it's friends, family, somebody that's old, somebody new. It doesn't matter. Look, you have to look at who you are in the eyesight of God. If you don't do it for your sake, do it for God's sake. If you don't do it for your sake, do it for God's daughter's sake. Or do it for God's son's sake. Do it for God's child's sake. In other words, if you don't do it for you, do it for who you matter to. You matter to God. You know, so oftentimes when we start looking at the situation that we face, like I said, we have to look at it from the perspective of God. Now, another key thing we have to do, we have to look at that old game, Simon Says. Simon says go left, you go left. Simon says go right, you go right. If we say turn north, if you turn north, you're out of the game. Why? Because the first words before any instructions or direction that's supposed to be obeyed is Simon Says. Well, if you look at life in that same principle, it will help you to avoid some mistakes. So if you look at, instead of Simon Says, think about God Says. If we, like I said, if we consult God in all of our ways, in other words, before you participate in something or considering participating into something, consult with God and wait for His response. If God tell you, hey, go ahead and help them out, go ahead and do this, you're doing it unto God, and you're doing it because God told you to do it, so you're obeying God, and also God is the one that has the insurance on what He told you to do. Anytime we obey what God told us to do, it is His responsibility to execute whatever needs to be done. But anytime we take matters into our own hands, then we're the one, by default, we're the one that's dealing with the consequences of our actions, even if we have good intentions. Because just because you have good intentions does not mean that it was God's intention for you to do it. That's why it's so important for you to obey God. Listen to Him. Consult Him. Ask Him. And once you obey Him, then you go ahead and do it. But if there is no response from God, there should be no response from you. Well, did God say it? Did God tell you to do it? Well, I had a fit. Did God tell you to do it? Well, no. See, now, the ball is in your court. Now, you'd have to be the one to realize, well, you know what? I might have made a mistake. And it's okay to admit it. Just don't continue to wallow in it. Don't continue to wallow in your mistakes. Like I said, for us to be able to consult, well, ask God, do you want me to do this? look, put everything up before God. God, do you want me to do this? Should I? Do you want me to? I know I have intention to, but do you want me to? And if he tells us to do it with a cheerful heart. But if he doesn't tell us to do it, and the Bible tells us he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So in other words, if God told us to do something, then it is his responsibility to make the provision for us to execute what he told us to do. See, if God tells me, hey, go ahead and give this person X amount of dollars. If God tells me to do it, then however much you told me to give him, I need that for me to be able to give to him. But also, like I said, for us to obey God and do it exactly the way he told us to. One of the analogies I always think about, let's just say if it was a row of 10 people and I have $100 and it's all in 10, so I have 10 $10 bills. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I hear God say, hey, give that 10th person, give that person $100. Okay? But I'm walking past 9 other people. And imagine me, and look, they all look the same. Imagine me giving $10 to each person. And on my 10th person, I give them $10. Now, was I a blessing? Actually, no. Why? Because I would have been a blessing doing it exactly the way God told me to do it. God told me to give that 10th person $100. Now, true, I gave $100 out, but I gave 9 people money that God did not tell me to give to. God told me to give that person, that last person, some money, not the rest of them. So did I obey God? No, I didn't. I obeyed a tenth, but in actuality, I didn't obey because I didn't do it exactly the way God told me to do it. And so we have to be able to obey God exactly what he told us to do. And so, with that, yes, there are some situations. If we learn to just consult God about everything, it'll help us to be less stressed. It will help us to be able to have peace. And oftentimes, we lack peace because we already know that we're doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. If you already know that you can't be forthcoming, if you already know you can't, you know, you have to hide, you got to sneak to do something, you already know you're doing something wrong. I always tell people, whatever you do, own up to it. Be bold, be confident. Yeah, I did it. And, hey, own up. But when you got to, we got to be honest people. We got to be truthful people. We can't be deceptive people. Stop being deceptive. Yeah. So, with that being said, understand that every battle, we don't have to fight. Everything we deal with does not need our response. Even some people that we deal with, look here, now I can get on a soapbox. There are some people that we deal with does not even require our response. Some people, look here, if you already know you're dealing with somebody that's not listening, why talk? Why stress yourself out? It's okay, hey, just walk away. There are some people, just understand, there are some people that love to be argumentative. If you're dealing with somebody that's argumentative, hey, let them argue by themselves. But you learn to protect your ears and your spirit, man. You ain't got to sit there and just take it. No. Because what happens, the devil can use that for you to be able to hear something, and then all of a sudden now it triggers where you end up now responding out of character. And now both of y'all going to jail, or you going to jail. And the worst thing you can do is tarnish your good reputation. I'm telling you. And also, when you know you're dealing with people that are like that, hey, some people just got to excommunicate them out of your life. It doesn't mean that you don't love them, but you have to love yourself, too. You have to, look, you have to protect your peace. You have to protect your integrity.
Excuse me one second.
So, yes, you have to protect your peace. When you know somebody doing all that, no, I don't care if it's at work. I don't care. Whatever. Learn to have a safe place. Oh, matter of fact, that particular word, safe place, y'all gonna hear it. Y'all gonna hear it more often. Y'all gonna hear it very soon. Y'all gonna hear it more often. You know, that's all I'm gonna say for right now. But you have to have yourself a safe place. That spiritually, mentally, emotionally, you have to have boundaries. You have to have healthy boundaries. And once you do that, once you have that, let God show you what to deal with, who to deal with. And stop trying to, look, like I always say, stop trying to come to people's defense who does not need your aid. But also, even for you to be able to have to handle some situation, don't avoid situations. Some people have that fight or flight mentality. No. No. This will help you to grow. But also, some people, there's always, you know, involving itself in other people matters, that's stopping people from growing. That's, look, if you involve yourself in your own business and you mind your own business, you don't have time to get yourself in other people's business. Someone said, I got 6 months to mind my business, another 6 months to leave other people's business alone. So we don't have time. We don't have time. You know, I was thinking about the other day, time wastes on no one. And I remember, you know, it seemed like yesterday that things were just, you know, I was in high school and this, that. Now, shucks. Now the high school over 30 years. So that's why it's so important for you to be mindful. Allow yourself to realize that time is valuable. And you can't, look, we don't get our times back. Now, God will help us to better manage our time and even speed up the process of some things in that time. But you have to be mindful of the time that you're spending and the time that you're wasting. But also, you cannot allow people, there's something else I have to say, you cannot allow people to control your mind, because the people that control your mind control your time. And the people that control your time control your mind. So don't allow people to get up in here, because that's where the battle, or where the devil try to deal with us here, in our minds. That book by George Myers, Battlefield of the Mind, which is so true. So ask yourself, where do you spend the majority of your time? What do you put your mind on? Are there anybody that's manipulating you that you continue to think about? The people that, you know, you frequent, the people you often communicate with, are you allowing them to control your mind? Are you allowing them to suppress your character, your next? Every time you talk to them, they put you down, 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 they put you down. That's like a broken record playing in your spirit. My question is, why are you communicating with them? Well, you love. That ain't love. You love, you saying you love them, but do you love you? You don't know how to love yourself? Well, if you don't know how to love yourself, take some time out to learn more about you and spend more time with you and less time with them. Well, you know, I can. Well, they were just drunk. They quit making excuses for folks. Cause I'm telling you, people are very aware of how they treat you. People are very aware that they're trying to get some things out of you or from you. I'm telling you. But when you start setting boundaries, like I said, and don't wait for them to leave you. Don't wait for them to change. Sometimes they change after you're gone, but that doesn't mean that you got to get them back. You have to love yourself. Put some value on you. The value and the time that you put on people who don't care about you, when you put that time in you, then you realize how much you've been deprived. Then you realize how much you're allowing yourself to be deprived. But when you start spending quality time with you and also spending quality time with Jesus Christ, He will help you to have your identity and help you to know who you are. Not only know who you are in Him, but also know who you are to folks that care about you. You have to love yourself. Quit trying to be a priority to folks who don't care about you. It may be harsh, but you need truth. And to be honest with you, it ain't hard, it ain't bad when you realize how much you mean to people that care about you. But you can't be so stubborn that you refuse all help and all red flags. God is allowing you to have a come to Jesus moment for you to realize, you know what, that person ain't going to change. And if they ain't going to change, I need to change. I need to change direction. You have to stop being easy access to people that don't care about you. Do you care about you? You don't know who you are. But you know the person that don't mean anything to you. You know more about them than you know about you. It's time to, the guy Bang Bang, Tim Witherspoon, John Witherspoon, you gotta reverse that thing. You gotta reverse that thing. You gotta start caring about you. And if you don't care about you, then who's gonna care about you? How you expect others to treat you and respect you, and you don't care about you? Think about it. You spending more time with them and less with you. Think about it. So my question is, this is the last Sunday in the month of September, the last of this, the fifth Sunday, and next month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. My question is, and we're not just talking about domestic violence pertaining to marriage or dating, but think about any toxic relationship you may have, even if it's a toxic relationship you have with yourself. What are you going to do? How are you going to change this? What are you going to do about it? Allow God to help you to know who you are and forgive you of the mistakes that you made in the past. Yeah, God can forgive you, but can you forgive you? You have to forgive yourself. Yeah, you might have helped that old knucklehead boy, that crazy girl. Yeah, you may have helped him in the past. But you know what? Enough is enough. You can't allow people to control your life when you end up stressing over people that ain't even stressing over you. You got to get your life back. I've seen so many people, their health declining, worrying and stressing about people. They ain't even thinking about them. Like that, my daddy used to always say, that ain't even on my little mind. So my question is, what are you going to do? Deal or no deal? It's time for you to start saying no deal to some things and less dealing with some things that God never meant you to deal with. you dealing with things, and to you, they're looking at you as, they've been dealt with. Why? Because you involve yourself in people, issues, and matters that doesn't concern you. Like I said, you can't raise or re-raise grown folks. And you can't clean up somebody else's mistakes. You gotta let people, you gotta let grown folks handle their business. So with that being said, if you need help, this is time for us to come as a family. Come as a community. Come and pray and give that mess over to God. Tell God, you know what, God, look here, I need some help. And you know, it don't take all day for God to move. It just takes somebody that's willing to move out the way and allow him to get in the way. Come to him and say, you know what, God, I don't know how to handle this situation. And I jacked it up. Yeah, I jacked it up. You know, just like when it comes down to someone that has an addiction, the first step in healing and help is to acknowledge right where they is. You know what, God? I messed up. I messed up all the time. But God, help me in this situation. I need some help. And right now, this is the time for you to go to him. Go to him. Talk to him. Be real. And if you be real with God, he can be for real with you. Look, you don't have to wait till next Sunday to get into church to tell God, or even for you to, you know, accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. You can do it right now, right where you at. You can do it right now. Romans 10:9 tells us, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ as thy Savior, and believe in the heart God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Say what God said about that situation. Accept him as Lord and Savior in your life, and allow him, there's a growing process, allow him to help you become mature and know his voice and respond in obedience. Know his voice. Spend quality time with him. Learn his word. So that way you can be able to have him to help navigate some things in your life. Navigate you. Look, allow him to order your steps in life. And know that there's nothing too hard for him. Allow him to help you in this situation. And know he's ready and waiting on you to come to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. So, God, we come to you right now, God. Ask God to help us right now, God, in every situation of our lives right now, God. Help us right now, God, to come to you, God. Come to you boldly, God, and telling you, God, that we need your help, God. We need your guidance. We need your strength, God. We need you to come into our lives right now, God, and order our steps right now in the name of Jesus. We acknowledge you as Lord and Savior in our lives, God, and we give you permission right now, God, to lead us and guide us in every area of our lives right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now, God, for listening to our prayers, God. God, we ask, Lord God, to forgive us, God, for any and every wrongdoing, God, that we've done, God, that we thought, God, that we said, God, that we acted upon right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, God, and we receive your forgiveness. God, we ask, Lord, to help us right now, God, to have healthy boundaries right now, God. Helping us right now, God, to say no when you tell us to say no, to say yes when you tell us to say yes, God. God, we ask you to help us, God, and give us the strength right now, God, to not go on our feelings or our emotions, God, but be led by your spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, and we bind everything the devil stands for, we cancel the devil's assignment right now. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you right now, God, for answering our prayers, God. We thank you right now, God, for moving mountains right now. We thank you, Lord, for lifting burdens right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help right now, God. Comfort the bereaved family right now, God. Be with them right now, God. Help them to understand that you never leave, you never left them, God. You will never leave nor forsake them, God. Help them right now, God, to stay close to your bosom right now, God. Holding up each and every family member that's grieving right now, God. God, you know them by name right now, God. And we hold them up before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now, God, for everything that you've done, God. Thank you right now, God. for helping us right now, God, in every situation of our lives right now, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray, we say amen, amen, amen. I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. If you have any questions, if you want to get in contact with me, you can get in contact with me. I'm Brother Prater. You can catch me on Facebook. You see my daily devotion, my videos. Also, for those who want to catch me on my mobile app. My mobile app, like I said, it's called Brother Prater. You can actually see a picture of me. If you have Android or Apple device, Android, just type in Brother Prater and you'll see the icon. That's my picture. You can download it. It's free. And you can download it where you can catch my daily devotions, my videos, my personal appearances, which I have some personal appearances coming up. Ready? Matter of fact, first, not only my personal appearance on my calendar, but also you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men. At the store section, you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to God of Fatherhood. Also, my other book, The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper. Now, on October the 19th, on a Saturday, October the 19th, at 701 Hartwood Drive, this will be in Bedford, Texas. It will be from 3 to 11. We'll be having our second annual charity brunch. This is speaking about domestic violence. This is going to be an event I'm very much looking forward to. I will actually have the icon of how to purchase tickets. I will have it blasted on my page as well. I'm going to have it attached to this episode right here. I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to please come. We have some fabulous speakers. I had a meet and greet with the people yesterday. I really, really, really enjoyed myself. Miss Norma, hello there. Look forward to it. I'll be one of the speakers. And we have several other speakers and survivors of domestic violence. Also, we're going to have a tribute to those who may have lost their lives, which also I'll have a tribute to. There'll be a tribute to my sister Sheila Prater, which was she was a victim of domestic violence. So yes, domestic violence awareness is very, very dear to me and Ashley. We did. My sister and I spoke the last time she was in my mom's house, and she told me what her plans were. And I was like, yeah, let's do this together. She was like, oh, okay, we can do this, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I walked into her car and I saw her drive off of her truck. And, you know, I was like, man, and I often think about that. And it's like, now what I'm doing was what we've supposed to be doing. So, yeah, I'm going to speak about domestic violence. I'm going to preach about it, yes. Whatever needs to be done to help bring awareness to people about domestic violence. So please, 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 if you're available on October the 19th, Saturday, that's from 11 to 3, please come out. Please come out. Also, you can purchase the tickets on Eventbrite, and there's going to be a code for those who may be able to get their discount. There's a discount code that may be on there. So please, 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 if you don't have anything planned, come on out. Come on out. We're expecting a great time. So with that being said, I want to thank each and every one of y'all, each and every one of y'all, for tuning in. And thank you so much for listening to Reconnect My Heart podcast. God bless you and